keeping with our theme this month, we're talking about consequences of rejecting Christ's authority. Let me word that properly. And I was thinking about this when I was talking to Mike about what we wanted to do, and I'm going to try to hurry through this preliminary stuff a little bit. But I think it's important that we tie it in. When you stop and think about it for just a moment, we all understand that there will be eternal consequences when we reject the authority of Christ. There's always eternal consequences. The wages of sin is death, and we need to remember that. But we also need to understand that sometimes there are going to be earthly consequences when we reject the authority of Christ. So let's first do a little bit of preliminary stuff. Christ's authority, number one, we've talked about this, is from the Father. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. But let's go to John chapter 14 very quickly and look at two quick verses here. In verse 10 of chapter 14, John 14, Jesus says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" Now listen carefully. "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak by my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." Where did his authority come from? Came from the Father. Let's go to verse 24. "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Now let's go to our next thought here. Christ's authoritative teachings were then passed down to the apostles. Well, how do we know that? Go back to John chapter 14. Verses 16 and 17. Notice what it says there. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," a comforter. It comes from a Greek word, parakletos, means literally to one who would stand beside, "that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Now, also notice something here. Luke chapter 24, verses 49. Jesus would actually tell his disciples, "Truly, in the city of Jerusalem, tarry there, stay there, until you are endued with power from where? On high." This is reiterated in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And it's fulfilled, as we know, in Acts chapter 2. Now let's talk about quickly some necessary implications. When we reject Christ's authority, we are rejecting God the Father. Why? Because his authority came from the Father. And to reject the inspired New Testament writings that we have, the books that we have, the letters that we have, is to reject Christ. And by extension, we're rejecting God. So when you stop and think about that, we realize very quickly what? We realize very quickly that to reject Christ is going to bring upon us consequences, because we're rejecting the very God of creation. So let's look at a couple of things here, and I just picked out a couple of things here that I think are critically important. And I did some research on this. Rejecting Christ's teachings on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Turn in your Bibles very quickly. We know most of this, but we'll quickly read this. To Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, and we'll pick up in, along about verse 3. Matthew 19, verse 3. "And the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?'" Or King James says, "cause." "And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate or put asunder. And they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of a divorce and put her away? Now listen carefully what Jesus tells them. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. It was not a commandment that you do it, but he allowed it because of the hardness of their hearts. He says, but listen, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except it be, if you have a New King James, strike out sexual immorality. That's a bad translation. It's fornication. It comes from the Greek word porneia. And marries another, commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Okay, now look quickly at this. These are just some statistics that I found. Still today, you would think we would learn something by now, but we haven't. Approximately 45 to 50% of all marriages are going to end up in divorce. That's a lot. 45 to 50%. And if there are subsequent marriages, a second and a third marriage that follows that, it goes up 60% and then 73% respectively. In other words, you become more likely if you get into a second marriage after that first failed marriage, and then if you get into third, it even gets worse. Now stop and think about some of the consequences. Number one, homes are wrecked. People's lives are wrecked. Their mental and spiritual stability is shaken whenever these divorces take place. Trust in God's oldest institution is destroyed. It's another thing that's destroyed. That's another consequence. And I saw this as an interesting one too. And this doesn't guarantee anything, so I'm not trying to say it happens every time, but children of broken homes are more likely to either divorce once they get married, or how about this, just choose not to get married at all and just live together in sin. That's what normally happens. Number two, rejecting Christ's authority concerning fornication. Now, I think this is really important, and I just want to read something very quickly about the definition. I've got a few definitions here that we do need to take a look at. That is not it. Hang on. That's not it. This is it here. The word fornication, again, comes from the Greek word porneia. It is a feminine noun. It simply means, if you will, illicit sexual intercourse. It involves adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, or even bestiality. That's what it covers. Now, look at some of the consequences. STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. Okay, and let me get to that one real quickly. I did a quick screenshot on that one as well. This is from 2022. Half of all sexually active people will get an STD by the time they reach 25. That's a lot, folks. Half, 50%. Did you know, ladies, that women are more at risk from STDs than men are? I know this is hard stuff to tell somebody. Hey, it's not easy for me to get up and talk to you about these things, but they are necessary for us to understand. United States STD rates hit a record high in 2018. And another thing hard for me to talk about, but it's just something that we need to. Gonorrhea incidence rates increased by 5% between 2017 and 2018. And men made up 86% of all syphilis cases in the United States. Again, not an easy thing to talk about, but we need to understand these are some of the consequences of not following God's law, of rejecting Christ's authority, and his teachings are what he expects man to do, that we read about in Matthew 19, 3 through 9. More than 1 million sexually transmitted infections are acquired every single day worldwide. And now listen carefully to what this said. And the majority of which are asymptomatic. Can somebody tell me what asymptomatic means? You don't know it's there. And you know what's going to happen after that? You're going to transmit it to somebody else, or they're going to transmit it to you. Again, not an easy thing to talk about. How about this one? I came up with this as interesting too. New drug protocols are having to be brought up because the old antibiotics aren't working anymore. We have superbugs out there that are antibiotic resistant. And some doctors, some people in the medical field are fearful that we will reach a point where they won't be able to find antibiotics at all that will kill these things. New protocols are being made necessary every single day just for the HIV and AIDS virus out there. First Corinthians chapter 6, 8 through 10, Romans chapter 1, 24 through 32 includes fornication, by the way. And by the way, even the New King James renders the word fornication there from pornos. Not sexual immorality. And finally, the last one, we want to look at it very quickly here. Rejecting Christ's authority concerning the teachings on the use of alcohol and other drugs. And I notice I said just other drugs because alcohol is a drug. Turn in your Bibles very quickly to the book of Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And again, we won't labor too terribly long at these passages, but they're critically important. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. These things are destructive. Proverbs 23, 29, beginning and going through verse 35, who has woe and who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaints, who has wounds without cause, meaning you don't understand, you don't even know where you got these things. Who has redness of eyes? Who has those lingering long at the wine? Those who go in search of mixed wine do not look upon the wine while it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, what does it do? It bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Boy, I tell you, that's certainly the case when you get involved with these things. And your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like the one or one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies on top of the mast saying, they have struck me, but I am not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek? Are you ready for this? Another one. Talks about addiction here. And how easy it is to get addicted. Real quickly, and we'll end it with this. I've thought about this before, and Mike brought this up a week before last. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul would write about bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Let me ask you something. If I'm ingesting something like alcohol, other kinds of drugs, illicit or otherwise, that take away my ability to bring my thought into the captivity, the obedience of Christ, tell me something. Am I not in sin? I am. So people who try to make adjustment for it in their mind, well, it's okay. As long as you just have a little bit. You know, there was a time in this state at least that the DPS would use the expression one drink drunk. And you know what? There's legitimacy to that, because if the first drink doesn't start the process of you starting to lose that ability to reason properly and bring every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ, the second one wouldn't either, and the third one wouldn't either. But we know the first one does. The Bible does not have to specify every minute little thing like cocaine or heroin or whatever, many other illicit drugs out there, for them to be wrong. It's spelled out that these things are wrong. There can be serious, serious earthly consequences when we reject the authority of Christ. Let's have the mindset and let's have the heart that says, if God said it, let's do it. If it came from the mouth of Christ, remember where he got it. If it came from the writings, if as it were, of the apostles, inspired writers, remember where they got that as well. And it ultimately originates with God the Father. If there's anyone here who needs to respond to the invitation, plea at this time, whatever we can do to help out, whether it is to become a child of God because you know what you need to do to be saved, you've heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, and you know that you're ready to be confessed, and now you know you're ready to be baptized, make that decision now. Don't put it off for another moment. Maybe it is the case that you are a child of God and you've strayed away and you need to come back on God's terms. What a better time than right now to do that. Whatever we can do to help out, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?